Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am very clearly not Paul Feinbaum, but I hope you'll hang out with me over the course of the next 4 hours right here on the SEC Network. If you don't know me, my name is Alyssa Lang. I know a lot of you from the SEC Network and from filling in on this show about a month ago, and somehow they let me back and they let me in the studio this time. So I'm very excited about that. We've got a jam-packed show for you. As always, we're going to take your calls and we're going to take plenty of them. Do not worry. But I do want to say that last time I did this show, it was late July. It was radio only, as I said. It was so much fun. All of y'all called in. I begged you guys at the beginning of the show. I was like, please don't let me talk to myself for 4 hours, because you guys don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And you guys showed up. You called in. I got to hear about your local high school teams. I got to hear about what you thought about your favorite team in the SEC and across college football. I'm expecting Jim from Tuscaloosa to call in at some point, at least once on this show, because Jim and I became great friends over the first time that I got to do this. So I am so excited to be back. We've got some headlines for you to start the show, starting with Bill Connolly, who wrote a piece for ESPN.com. He's going to join us on the show later this afternoon, talking about the games, players, and teams to watch if you want to have the most fun this college football season. So there were games on his list, there were players on his list, including some week one and regular season SEC matchups, some that I have questions about. A lot of Georgia games specifically, but if you are a diehard college football fan, which I know all of y'all out there are, we are zeroing in on those notable week zero matchups. Look at all the college football that's going to be on your TV this coming weekend. Of course, Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii. That will be our first SEC game of the season for those of us here at the network. The Commodores are out west. They did land in the state of Hawaii on Sunday afternoon, awaiting kickoff in about a week. I will say, I did get the opportunity to go out to Hawaii this summer. I'm very jealous of Clark Lee and the entire program. Let's dive into what we can expect from that game. Welcoming in now Aria Gerson, Vanderbilt beat writer from the Tennessean. Aria, thank you so much for joining us. What do you make of this matchup early on paper between the Commodores and this Hawaii team?
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a really hard matchup to kind of predict because Hawaii is all new. They have a new coach, they have a new staff. And they have some of the least returning production in the country. So they got a lot of players out of the transfer portal. So it's kind of hard to predict what they're going to do, which I think makes it really interesting. Meanwhile, Vanderbilt, they have a lot of contributors from last season coming back. So they're a little bit more solid on, you know, who's actually going to be out there.
When you've been covering camp, you've been out at practice, how much have players been looking forward to not only starting the season, but starting the season in this way, taking this trip to the state of Hawaii?
Yeah, I definitely think they're excited to go to Hawaii. The basketball and baseball teams played there in the past year. And, you know, I only heard good things about that experience. And I think they're just excited to put last season behind them and try to have a little bit better year this time around.
That being said, Mike Wright, QB1, he got some time in last season. We know that he can make things happen with his legs, but what have you seen from him from a development standpoint over the last couple of months throughout fall camp when it comes to not only his ability to lead this football team, but improvement as a passer as well?
Yeah, I think the throwing has still been a little bit inconsistent. There are times when, you know, he can make really good throws and other times where the accuracy is not quite there. But I do think that leadership wise, he's exactly what you want to see. I think the entire program sees him as a leader. He was named one of the team captains this year. He represented the program at SEC Media Days, and there was only good things to say about the way that he's been representing and rallying the program. And I think that's a really big thing, because last year they were using two quarterbacks regularly. So there wasn't really an opportunity for either one of them to fully step into that kind of leadership role that I think Wright fully has the reins on this time around.
We're talking with Aria Gerson, Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean. Aria, there was a little bit of smack talk revolving this game. We don't typically see smack talk, at least in the last several seasons, when it comes to Vanderbilt football, but Hawaii sort of threw some stuff out there saying, Vandy, you might not be ready for this. Talk to us about what that has looked like and if there's been any sort of response internally there in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, I think on one hand, it's not totally wrong, because I think most people don't know what to expect from Hawaii, just schematically and in terms of, you know, what exactly their team is going to look like. But obviously, you know, when it's a group of five team that is talking trash, I think that is going to be bulletin board material for them. This is a team that's not afraid to play on the road. They played well on the road last season several times. And so, you know, I think that for sure they're motivated, and they're motivated to start the season off right.
We're so excited for week zero to get underway. I know a lot of people are going to have their eyes on this game. We've been talking a lot at the SEC Network just about how special of a trip this is. Our own analyst, Roman Harper, when he was at Alabama, got to go out to Hawaii to play in a similar atmosphere, similar kind of situation. This has to be huge for Clark Lee. Going into year two now, what are some of the things that you've noticed from him going into this second fall camp that is helping push this program in the right direction?
I think a big thing has just been the recruiting, and it's not even necessarily the rankings, although the rankings have been better than they have been in the recent past, but just the fact that Clark Lee really seems to know what he wants, and he really seems to be getting those players with really good athletic traits, with good size and speed. And, you know, I think those players are coming along well. Some of them we saw some really good things from during the fall. You know, not all of them are going to play. Some of them are going to redshirt. But I think just in terms of the future of that program, you know, that's really good. I think he's still getting buy-in from some of the veteran players, some of the players that chose to take a fifth year when they could have grad transferred, or they could have tried to, you know, pursue a professional career, but they decided to come back. And I think that shows, you know, some good buy-in from the veterans on this team, and then to go along with the improved recruiting, I think is a good sign going forward.
I know we had a lot of conversations with Coach Lee last season just about not only turning things around on the field, but the mentality side of it, right? Having to come in and prove to these guys that once they go down a couple of scores, they don't necessarily have to feel like they're out of a game, certainly in conference play. Let's take a look at Vanderbilt's schedule right now, because I know the big question for a lot of Vandy fans is, will they be able to win a conference game this year, going 0-8 in conference play? Just a season ago, of course, we're starting to talk about this Saturday opener at Hawaii. But Aria, when you look at this schedule, do any of these games jump out at you as far as something that could be a momentum shifting game for Coach Lee and this team?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if they're going to win an SEC game, it's going to be one of the two, either at Missouri or against South Carolina. And I think one thing that, you know, is an important factor here is that because they play at Hawaii, they have two bye weeks. And one of the bye weeks is the last week of October in between those two games. So they might be able to go, you know, further all out, have more players ready, particularly for South Carolina, because they're coming off two byes, really. I think that, you know, Vanderbilt's defense might actually be pretty good, especially the linebackers in the secondary. There's a lot of experience, and there's a lot of, you know, they're really good, fundamentally sound. And so I think that if you get against a team that doesn't necessarily have a great offense, might be a little bit turnover prone, might be a little bit more defense focused, that might be where Vanderbilt might be able to just grind the game down to a halt and just try to ground and pound it and run the ball, get in a low scoring game, and that might be, you know, where they could steal a win.
I was going to say, I wondered if you would look at that South Carolina game, just as I think back to what the Vandy South Carolina game looked like a season ago and how close that one was down the stretch. Obviously, South Carolina was on their 18th starting quarterback at that point during the season, but nonetheless, a very closely contested game in the SEC East. Aria, thank you so much for hopping on with us. Best of luck covering week zero with this Vanderbilt team as they head to Hawaii and hopefully bring back a win. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we got plenty more coming your way on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Of course, as I said, Paul's not here, but you got me for the next couple of hours. Coming up next, we're going to take some calls. Please call in, say hey. Let's talk about week zero. College football is just a couple days away. We'll be right back here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Coming up, we've got great guests ahead. Chris Doering joins us at 3:30 Eastern Time. The reason I wanted CD on the show, he's recently gone through those new facilities down in Gainesville. I want to get his take on what those look like. I know he's had some great conversations with Coach Napier. I want to get his take on where this Florida team could go this season. Bill Connolly going to join us at 4 o'clock Eastern to talk about that article he put out on ESPN.com about how to get the most fun out of your college football season. Matt Austin, SEC Network officiating analyst, going to join us at 4:30 to talk about the future of SEC and college football officiating. We're talking quarterbacks at 5 o'clock with Chrissy Freud of SI.com. And then in studio at 6:15, happens to be here in the Charlotte area, South Carolina fans know her very well. WNBA fans know her very well. Tiffany Mitchell going to join me at 6:15 Eastern Time. Melissa Lang in for Paul Feinbaum. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Monday afternoon. Let's take some calls right off the bat. Andre is in Atlanta. Andre, how you doing today?
Hey, what did you do with Coach Feinbaum today? He's playing hooky, or where's the coach at today, Ms. Lang?
You know, I'm not sure where he is. I know he misses being here with y'all, and I feel very honored to be in his place, at least for now. But don't worry, he will be back tomorrow. So y'all will be done with me by tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, let's get the small talk out the way. First of all, I'm an LSU fan, so I wanted to clear the air with that. But after I heard all of this happy talk with you and this young lady about Vanderbilt, I thought maybe I wasn't hearing things straight. But when it comes to the SEC, better known as the Strength Everywhere Conference, if you're not stacking top 10 recruiting classes on top of top 10 recruiting classes, when it comes to in-conference games, you're not going to win. Now, Vanderbilt is a nice university, great education, great baseball program. But when it comes to the gridiron, now they could go to Hawaii and maybe slap them around a little bit. But when it comes to inside the conference, if you're not recruiting inside the top 10, Ms. Lane, you're just not going to win. That's just how it is. This is big boy ball. But hey, thanks for taking my call, and welcome to the show, and have a good day.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Andre. I appreciate it. I'm with you. And I think Clark Lee knows that as well. If you're not bringing in some big-time recruits who are ready to play big-time ball in the SEC, it's going to be tough to win a conference game. It'll be tough for Vanderbilt to win a conference game this season. Looking at their schedule, we'll see if they can get it done, because you know the other teams who are also rebuilding have been rebuilding and recruiting their classes for a while as well. We were talking about that Vanderbilt-South Carolina matchup. Shane Beamer has been active in the recruiting cycle, so we'll see what it looks like for the Commodores. We're going to be talking a bit of Vanderbilt over the next couple of days, though, because if you're hungry for college football, they are one of the teams giving it to you first, coming up this Saturday at Hawaii, 10:30 Eastern Time on CBS Sports Network. We'll see if they can start the season out with a bang. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hayden is in Alabama. Hayden, how you doing today?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, Miss Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, ma'am. It's my pleasure anytime. They told me on the phone lines when I called in that you used to work at the Chick-fil-A, too.
I did. That was one of my first jobs when I was 15 years old in Huntersville, North Carolina. I worked the drive-thru at a Chick-fil-A. I actually got in trouble once. They told me that you were a Chick-fil-A employee in the break, so I said I had to tell this story. I answered the drive-thru. I had the headset on. I was taking orders, and I answered the drive-thru by saying, "Thank you for choosing Chick-fil-A, where the chicken is kicking and the cow is king. How may I serve you?" And my manager didn't think it was funny, and I got in trouble for that. Hopefully you have not gotten in trouble like I have working at Chick-fil-A.
I was taking an order, and sometimes I'll mess with my friends there and use like a different name when I'm taking an order. I'll be like, "Hey, welcome to Chick-fil-A. My name is so-and-so." Now, say my buddy Jeff will be on the side. I'll be like, "Yeah, my name's Jeff. I can take your order." But I just wanted to ask, who do you think the most overrated and underrated SEC teams are this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. Underrated. I want to start underrated first. I have felt like Kentucky is a little underrated, and I know I'm going to get some heat for that because Kentucky has been just blowing up my Twitter mentions for the last couple of weeks. Not Kentucky fans, because they believe in themselves, but it feels like the rest of the conference is still looking at what Kentucky was 6-7 years ago. So I feel like Kentucky's probably, in the grand scheme of things for me, at least from what I've seen, one of those underrated teams, because I really think that if they put together the kind of roster and talent that we believe that they have right now in Lexington, they're going to mess some things up in the SEC East. Overrated is tough. I don't want to say Arkansas, because I don't necessarily believe Arkansas is overrated, but I have seen a lot of hype for Arkansas, and that's a squad that my Razorback fans know I love to give a lot of love to, and I think that team's very talented, but they lost a lot of talent last season. That's going to be one of those programs that I need to kind of see it to believe it the first couple weeks. I'm not necessarily putting all my chips in. Don't want to call them overrated, but in the conversations that I've had, I'm not necessarily jumping on the Arkansas bandwagon yet this season. So I think those would be my two to answer that question. What do you think?
I think that Kentucky's pretty underrated. There's some hype around Tennessee this year, so I wouldn't call them underrated. I do think they'll be good, though. I guess I'd go with Kentucky as in the East, and in the West, or not in the West, but overrated, I think I would go for A&M. But real quick, I wanted to chime in on the Kentucky thing. I remember I guess it was 2020 or 2021, I can't remember. But you were reporting for on the sideline for Kentucky. It was like one of the first games of the year, right? It was when Will Levis like ate a tomato, or not a tomato, or
a banana.
Somebody ate a banana, yeah, with the hide and all.
Yep, that was me. That was game one last season, Will Levis's first year, and we happened to be there for week one. I believe it was Louisiana Monroe was the opponent. And I said, you know what? It's the start of college football. College football, this time of year, we're about having fun, right? And Will Levis brought a ton of fun and a ton of hype to that Kentucky team. So, you know, sideline reporters, the job sometimes can be thankless. There's a lot of preparation and a lot of stories that get prepared for these games that don't necessarily get in. But my crew was going to make sure that I got eating a banana with the peel on into that broadcast. It was a fun little bet, too, because historically, Kentucky has had a tough time throwing the football, right? They've been a run-first team. And that was something that Coach Stoops said, hey, we got to be able to change this if we want to compete in the SEC, we got to get somebody who can throw it. And so we had a little bet. Hey, if you throw over 300 yards passing in this opening game, you think you'll eat the banana? And Stoops was like, yeah, maybe I'll think about it. So I decided to take that bet up myself. And Will Levis smashed it easily right in that week one. And the rest is kind of history. I hope I don't have to eat that banana anymore, though, because it wasn't very good. Wouldn't try it at home.
I would make it a higher number next time, Miss Alyssa.
Yeah, I learned my lesson. Now it's 500 yards or more next time I'm eating that banana. Hayden, thank you so much for your call. Best of luck handling that drive-thru. I know it can be tough.
Oh, yeah. Trying to move on to bigger things, man. Have a good one.
I love it. You as well. Hey, we're taking more of your calls coming up next. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show. We've got guests coming your way. We're talking week zero and week one as we are just a few days away from the start of college football. Coming up next, Chris Doering is here to talk his predictions and, of course, the Florida Gators.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back into the Paul Feinbaum Show. 855-242-7285 is the phone number. I'm Alyssa Lang sitting in for Paul just for today. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry. We do have a guest standing by. Chris Doering is on the line, but I'm going to hit pause on Doering for just a second because I see on our phone lines we have someone actually calling in to talk about Chris Doering. So before we get to CD, let's get to Eric in Athens. Eric, what's going on today?
Alyssa Lang, it's good to have you in. I listen to you guys all the time on SEC Now, and I appreciate you having coming in today.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here. And I see that you're from Athens, which I can only imagine means you have a bone to pick with Doering.
Well, it's not so formally. So just, you know, if you give me a platform real quick, just to talk for a minute, I'm actually from Minnesota, a Dogs fan living in Minnesota, and I've actually called Peter Burns and Chris Doering a few times on their show on Monday mornings to talk about Dogs football and just what's happening all in the SEC. And then I finally just got to move down to Athens, literally 3 weeks ago, I just moved down to Athens. So that's made the big move from Minnesota to Athens, which is great. It's a whole different culture for me down here. But no, a few things about with Chris, I'm a huge fan of Chris. I like what he says. I like he goes out on a limb, you know, just to make picks. But I will say this, though, and I don't know if CD will agree or disagree with this, but I really think with the Dogs, the game at Kentucky, that when you and Chris did the segment of the Kentucky schedule, the win or loss, I really think the trouble that the Dogs will have, I'm not going to say it's a trap game, but in between the Kentucky and Tennessee and Florida game, there's a little detour that the Dogs have to take to Starkville to play Leech Ball and the Mississippi State Bulldogs. That's the game right there that a lot of people are underselling. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds funny. However, Kirby always has the troops ready for Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida. But that little detour to Starkville, I believe, is going to be not an undoing, but it'll be something to keep your eye out for on the end of the season. It's wedged right in there, and I think that's a possible letdown game that the Dogs could have before going to the Bluegrass State and facing that Wildcat team. And my second thing is, Darnell Washington, the tight end of the Dogs, don't undersell that staying with the Dogs as a little thing. There's a reason why Kirby Smart, after that national championship win, stood in front of the locker room and actually told the troops and pointed out Darnell Washington and what he meant to that team, because he knew there was a good chance that Darnell could transfer after that national championship season. But he literally convinced Darnell Washington in that tight end room to stay. And I don't think that should be undersold, because with Oscar Delp, Darnell Washington, and Brock Bowers now, that changes everything. Run game, blocking, just what it does to the whole tight end group in the whole national college football scene. So that's why he literally stood in front of that locker room and pointed that out. And I really do think that's going to be a huge step in like filling up some holes and gaps for what our defense is going to have this year, for that offense to put up possibly 45-plus points when we had the 38 this past season.
Eric, it's a great point, and it's really interesting to see people picking schedules, and there have been some upsets against the Georgia Bulldogs. That being said, I want to bring Chris Doering in now, joining the Paul Feinbaum Show, who did choose Kentucky to upset Georgia on their schedule when those two teams match up. Now, he had Kentucky losing to Tennessee, which I know blew up both of our Twitter mentions, because CD, you and I were both on the show that night. So before we get to Florida, I want to start there, since we were just talking about it with some Dog fans. First, I want to know how many people tweeted at you about that take.
All right, first and foremost, Alyssa, congratulations. I saw the tweet about you being the first female to ever host the Paul Feinbaum Show. No better person to break that barrier than you. And you know how much I love you and how proud I am of you. So I want to make sure I got that out first. Secondly, that call from Eric went a lot better than I was expecting. I thought I was about to get torn up, but Eric is a listener and a viewer on our show, as he mentioned, and he's called in before, so we appreciate him. You know, I go back to there was a lot of hate spewed. A lot of people didn't necessarily like what I did in terms of upsetting Florida. I don't even think you can call it an upset of Florida. I think Kentucky's probably going to be favored in that game if they're not already. But, you know, Georgia and Florida, Tennessee, those teams aren't used to losing to Kentucky. And this is not your father's or grandfather's Kentucky football program. Mark Stoops has done a great job of building this program to what it is now, heading into his 10th season there in Lexington. So I think teams better start recognizing what this Kentucky team is about. And they're about running the football, playing physical, and being great on defense. So I like where they are. And as Eric mentioned, I love the way that it sets up on November 19th. Coming on back-to-back-to-back games against Florida, Tennessee, and Mississippi State, I think that's why I feel so confident about Georgia's ability to get upset there after having to play that streak of three games straight before going to Lexington.
You know, I'm glad you said it's not your father's or your grandfather's Kentucky team, because that was kind of the argument that I was in, and I was sending you those tweets last week. I was going back and forth a few times on Twitter with a Florida Gator fan who sent me the all-time record between Kentucky and Florida, and he was like, how in the world would you think that the Wildcats are going to go to the swamp and upset the Gators? Look at the all-time record. And I was like, I don't think the all-time record represents where either of these programs are right now. So I'm with you. This is a Kentucky team that I do believe, if they find success this year, we have to move away from that what Kentucky was 10 years ago and look at what they are now. That being said, I want to talk about your Florida Gator squad. You've spent a lot of time touring the new facilities. You've talked to Coach Napier. I want to start with the facilities, because I also saw our guy Peter Burns was down there, I think yesterday or the day before. And these things look beautiful. We know it's an arms race when it comes to facilities and recruiting in the SEC. So what was the most exciting part about the new digs down there? And for those of us who haven't seen it yet, describe what you saw.
Well, first and foremost, Alyssa, I gotta say I was jealous that I didn't have an opportunity to experience those types of facilities when I was at Florida. When we wanted to take a nap, we didn't have zero gravity chairs in our lockers. We had to grab our laundry bags and a towel and use that as a pillow and a blanket and lay in front of our lockers on the floor. So it's a long way from 1995, obviously, but you know, I think the thing that excites me the most about it, Alyssa, is the attention to detail. Everything is so well thought out for the student athlete's experience, the efficiency, everything being self-contained and coming in off the field and having the ability to shower off in the mud room and get right in the cold tank and moving into the cryotherapy booth and having the Normatec in every player's locker. Like, it is such a well oiled machine now that really there's no excuse for not being in the best possible playing shape and best possible condition as an individual and a team as they get ready to play this season going forward.
You talk about attention to detail, and everyone who I have spoken to, I haven't gotten to go down there yet and see the new staff and talk to Coach Napier, but I know you have. Everybody talks about the attention to detail that Coach Napier brings to every single nook and cranny of this Florida football team. What have you noticed in that arena? And as we've been making these bold predictions and picking schedules, picking games, win losses, what do you think the ceiling is genuinely for this Florida team this year as we stand right now, still with a lot of things unanswered?
Well, first and foremost, I'm very fortunate to have had a chance to call the spring game in Gainesville and had a chance to sit down with Coach Napier and go over everything as it relates to what he's building here and the plan that's in place. And you mentioned it, very detail-oriented, very involved in every aspect of the football program. He's got a great plan that's already showing that it's paying dividends on the recruiting trail. I think Florida fans have to be a little more realistic, too, and understand that the program's not in the best shape right now. It's going to take some time. We got to be patient, which is not a great quality of college football fans in general or specifically Florida football fans. But I do think the best legitimizing thing that I've heard was when I was in Tuscaloosa for Alabama's Pro Day earlier in the spring. I had two different people come up to me unsolicited and say, hey, you guys got the right guy down there. And when Alabama people are telling you that you got the right guy, you know there's some credibility behind that. So I think as a Florida guy, I'm excited about where this program is headed. And you know, I think this conference is better when teams like Florida and Tennessee are amongst the best in the conference. And I'm looking for a little balance. Time to get the East back to being somewhat more competitive than they are right now as it relates to the strength of the two divisions.
I love what you just said about Bama, because in this league, it's really hard to get a compliment from your rival or your cross-division rival. So if someone from Bama is complimenting a Florida Gator fan, then you know it's legit. CD, before we let you go, I've never asked you this. We've been friends for years, and I don't know how I haven't asked you this, because we do radio all week together, and I see the digs behind you there at your house. What's the coolest thing you have on that shelf behind you?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, man. I love the game balls. I'm trying to look back in there. Coach Spurrier, what he said to me on that, I think he signed it to Chris, one of my all-time favorite players. That means a lot to me, obviously. You know, I got the game ball from the Kentucky catch back in a long time ago, Alyssa. That was one that was one of my favorites. I think the Dr. J jersey you've seen, I think I've told you the story about that. I won it, and I say won it. It was a live auction at the Chris DeMarco golf tournament, and it was not in a frame at the time. I'd had a few cocktails, ended up winning the bid, and later that night I was wearing it out after being out, you know, having some fun with the rest of the guys in the parking lot. So I think I got some pictures somewhere of me with the number 6 Dr. J jersey on with a having a good time post-game festivities.
Well, it all looks awesome, and I will say you've done so much work to get Kentucky fans to love you and be on your side, but you just lost some points bringing up that game again and that catch and that game ball, but we'll let it slide because it's a big deal.
Hey, here's what I need from you, Alyssa. We need some time. I got to get you to coach me up on how to use these ring lights. I feel like an old guy trying to get this ring light set up. I know you're a professional. You're a big TikToker now, so next time we're together, if you could coach me up on that, I'd be appreciative.
Our producer, Jamari, is saying that you mightily struggled with it. So, yes, we will sidebar about getting the ring light set up. Chris Doering, thank you so much, as always. I love you. I can't wait to talk to him more throughout football season. We do have to take a break here, though, on the Paul Feinbaum Show. When we come back, it's Manic Monday. That's what I'm calling it. CD made some crazy predictions about Kentucky's schedule. What crazy predictions do you have that you think could actually come true this upcoming college football season? We'll take more of your calls coming up next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Alyssa Lang here filling in for Paul. We asked a question on Twitter today that many of you weighed in on. Always a fun time of year to be able to pose something like this. Besides your own squad, which college football team do you have the most fun watching? It's an interesting question. We got some great replies. I think Peter Burns weighed in saying not even close, Florida State. Interesting by PB. Wonder why he picked the Noles. Obnoxious Rose said probably Alabama if they lose. I think there are a lot of other people who probably agree with that. Of course, we'll be putting up more responses on the bottom of your screen for who, besides your favorite team, you enjoy watching the most. I will say, from a nostalgia standpoint, I grew up a huge Virginia Tech fan. Both of my parents went to Virginia Tech. I basically grew up in Blacksburg at the pinnacle of Tech football, the Michael Vick years, so on and so forth. Some heartbreaking moments, but I love watching the Hokies when I'm not paying attention to the SEC, that's for sure. We're going to take some more of your calls as you answer this question and some others that we have posed. I asked in the last segment, Manic Monday, what are some of the craziest predictions that you've made that your friends, the group text, the water cooler at work have been laughing at you for, but you genuinely think could come true? That and plenty more. 855-242-7285. Let's go to Pat in Georgia. Pat, what's going on?
Alyssa, thank you for taking my call. And it's my pleasure to hang out with you this afternoon. And congrats on being the first female on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Your enthusiasm is extremely infectious and contagious.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for saying that. I very much appreciate it. I love being here with you guys.
Well, to answer your question, I'm a Bulldog. My favorite team is, especially if they're winning, is whoever's playing Florida that week. So, but two things I wanted to talk with you about very quickly. In the 60s, I was on the sideline working it, and I wanted to get your take on that. I always made it a point to take 15 seconds and just take it all in, on the field at Sanford Stadium, it was a pleasure. Not everybody got to do what I did, and I always made sure that I appreciated it, and then I put my head down and went to work. But last Friday, after I called, my good friend from Tuscaloosa called in, and I thought I had always been able to fly way under his radar, but evidently last Friday afternoon I got on it. And after he got done, I thought about it, and Melissa, I do believe that like the Philistines in Judges, I have been slain by the jawbone of an ass. But let's talk about the sidelines. And I was one of three people that helped get. I was in the band, the Dixie Redcoat Band, and I helped them get into the stadium and get on and off the field and get out of the stadium, and I more or less had to run a Sanford Stadium as a college student and member of the band. But what really gets into your mind, or how much do you enjoy being on the sidelines? And I caught your comment about you prepare a lot of stories and half of them don't get on the air. And that's would be frustrating. But what do you really get out of being on the sidelines?
Man, Pat, that's a great question. I will say, growing up, I saw so many women who worked in the sports industry who were sideline reporters. So oftentimes, as I was growing up and decided that this is what I wanted my profession to be, that was who I looked to. And I always wondered what that feeling would be like, being on the sidelines of Athens, Georgia, or Tuscaloosa, or even at my alma mater, Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina. And the feeling truly is pretty indescribable. I do the same thing that you described, where sometimes I almost get lost in it, right? Like, you're under the lights, a night game in the SEC, a highly contested matchup that nobody knows which way it's going to go. And you look up and you see the fans and they're screaming and they're wild and they're excited. And you see the players and they're on the sideline and they're hyping each other up and coaches are getting in their faces. And there's nowhere I would rather be as a college football fan. And that's always been how I try to approach everything that I do. Sitting on this desk today, hosting SEC Now, working as a sideline reporter, is I'm a fan first. I grew up a college football fan. That is my lifeline. It's what makes me the happiest. So taking in that moment will never get old. I hope it never gets old. The moment that it does, I think, is when I'm going to know that I need to find something else to do. I don't think that's going to happen, though. In the SEC, it's a completely different beast, too. You know, what I get out of being on the sidelines, I would say, it helps me do my job in the studio that much better. I mentioned the stories that you don't necessarily always get in, right? So you're prepared to talk as much as you're needed. During COVID times, you saw sideline reporters even take over the broadcast at times. So you're just as prepared as the guys in the booth. But based on how the action on the field is going, you may not necessarily have time for your producer to send it down to you. And then you are doing a Mississippi State game and their offense is running so quickly. And by the time you've got the story on the receiver who just made that fantastic catch, they're on to the next play. So it's all about timing in that aspect. When I say it helps me do my job in studio better, you know, we spend all day Friday in meetings with coaches, coordinators, players, and those stories that I don't necessarily get into the broadcast, somehow there's a way for us to work them into what we're doing in the studio. Or someone will say something that I can come back, and when I'm sitting on the desk here at the SEC Network with Roman Harper or Matt Stinchcomb, I can say, hey, so-and-so was saying that he was working on this, or that this was a problem for them. Maybe we should break that down in a film session on the show, or maybe we can explain why that was a game-changing moment in that game. So being on the sidelines, being in the thick of it, it helps in so many ways. Hey, we got to take a break. We'll be right back here on the Paul Feinbaum Show with more of your calls coming up next.